We are so blessed at this church to have so many servants and ministers who help in so many ways and so many different ministries and so many different aspects of church life. And I'm thankful to each and every one of you. But I also at this time want to give a specific thanksgiving to those who labor in the ministry of motherhood. I think sometimes it is important to remember that motherhood is a ministry. It is a service that you are rendering to the kingdom, and it's one of the most important works that can be done. And there has been an incalculable amount of good that has been done throughout the history of the church, and in this church in particular, and I'm sure in many of our own lives, based on the godly teachings and examples of our mothers. Some of the best evangelists in the church are mothers, who are constantly demonstrating and teaching their children about the things that matter most. And I'm so appreciative of all of the mothers in here who have labored in that important work in ministry, and I pray that God continues to bless you as you do so. I think one of the most important things that we can learn from our mothers, but really from anybody, from Scripture itself, is to learn how to put our trust in God. We're doing a series of lessons on the topic of trust, and we're talking about trust from a number of different angles as we go through this. Last week, we talked about the value of trust as one of the most precious gifts that we can give, and we're also going to be talking about how that valuable gift can be placed in God, how we can cultivate healthy, trusting relationships in our homes, in our churches, in our relationships with non-Christians and through evangelism. And we're going to talk about not only how to trust people, but also talk about how to become credible sources where other people can put their trust in us. How do you become trustworthy? We're going to talk about some of the practical things that we can do in order to build and facilitate trusting relationships. We'll also, however, talk about some of the limits of trust. One of the major points we talked about last week was that God is really the only source that in all of existence where we can put our absolute and unmitigated trust. You can trust fully and without hesitation in God. But everything else that we trust, even though it is good and helpful to trust in other things, all of that must be measured with wisdom and Scripture and in measured under our trust in God. So we'll talk about how it is that we can trust wisely. And then we'll also conclude by talking about trust killers. There are certain things that you can do that will absolutely destroy any possibility of a healthy and trusting relationship. There are things that you can do that will make you completely untrustworthy. There are things like gossip. There are things like hypocrisy. There are things like unhelpful and consistent criticisms that make you an untrustworthy source. And we will discuss some ways that we can try to rid ourselves of those trust killers. But for the lesson this morning, we're going to be talking about trusting God, and particularly how to do that. The Bible says an awful lot about trusting God. The passage that was just read a moment ago tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. One of the images that's used of God as a trustworthy source throughout the Old Testament especially is of God as a rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. The idea of being able to take refuge in God as a rock is a picture of what trust is. I don't want to take refuge under something that is soft and weak and something that is inconsistent and something that might be here one day and gone the next way, something that can easily be knocked over. Like, you want to put your refuge in something you can trust, in something that is strong and steady and sure. And so God is often referred to as a refuge and as a rock and as the ultimate and absolute source of trust. And I think if we can cultivate that idea, it's one of the greatest blessings we'll have in our spiritual lives, knowing that no matter what goes on in this world and no matter what pains come our way, no matter what doubts arise and no matter what chaos enters into our lives, we have something that is constant, steady, and sure, and which we can always put our hope and our trust, a place that we can always return. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's something that's extremely helpful, but it's also something it's really hard to do. It doesn't always come naturally to everybody. God's invisible. It's hard to put your trust in something that is invisible. God isn't as visible as our money is. God isn't as visible as our nation is. God isn't as visible as weapons are. The Bible, we talked about this last week, tells us over and over again, don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Don't put it in bows and swords. Don't put your trust in princes and rulers. Don't put your trust in nations. Don't put your trust in wealth. Don't even put your trust in your own understanding. Like all of those things, put your trust in God rather than those things. But you know what? At my house, I actually have physical things that I can see and that I can trust, and I know that is there, and I can touch it. How do I trust in God more than in the things all around me and in my life? How is it that I put more trust in the God who I have not seen than in the world around me that I have seen and in the relationships I have where I have actually physically seen and touched them? It's not an easy thing to do. And it's something that I think doesn't always happen quickly. It's something that takes time and effort and cultivation. It's something that takes the work of God in our lives and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's something that takes scripture and prayer. It's something that takes an awful lot. And one of the things that I've tried to do for this lesson is using a biblical foundation and framework. I've talked to a lot of people that I know, people who I consider to be excellent examples of godly humans who have put their trust in God. And I talked to some people who are old and some people who are young, men and women, and a good number of people, a lot of them from different places and who are different churches, who I look up to as people who I consider to be individuals who are very good at trusting God throughout their lives. And I asked them, what are some of the greatest sources of trust that you have, or rather, what are some of the things that you do that help you the most in trusting God? What are some habits and practices that you've put into place that help you trust in God? So for the rest of this lesson, I'm going to be going through a list of 10 things that we can do that will help us put our trust in God. Some of them are more creative, I think. But really the most basic ones, and if you get nothing else from this lesson, I just want to give you the most basic, mundane, perhaps the most obvious and boring answer that I can give you. But it's one that has been tried and tested and is true and is absolutely the most important thing that you can do. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Make it a part of your life and then pray. And then read the Word of God, and then pray. It might not, in the moment, feel like, hey, I did that. I spent 10 minutes reading the Word of God and 10 minutes in prayer, and I don't feel like I trust all that much more right now. That you might feel that way. That's probably natural. But I think if you develop a habit of reading the Word of God and prayer consistently and daily throughout your life, you will be absolutely amazed at the impact that has in transforming who you are into who God is calling you to be. It's the type of thing that years from now, looking back, you'll recognize how much value has come and how much you have grown. You're unrecognizable now in the fact that you have consistently patterned your life around communication from God, hearing from Him and speaking to Him, and hearing from Him and speaking to Him. So the first two of this list that we're going to talk about are scripture and prayer. And I think that these are the foundation of everything else that's going to follow after them. And I'm telling you, if you want to get to where trusting God is a more natural and an easier thing to do in your life, cultivate daily habits of talking to God, of communing with God. And I think that prayer and scripture are the key, most obvious, and foundational ways to do that. So as we begin this list, number one, scripture and reflection. So we're asking the question, how is it that I can develop habits that will help me trust God more and make trusting God, you know, actually obeying about those commands about trusting Him? How can I make that a more natural part of my life? Scripture, and then reflect on scripture. And ask yourself some questions. What is God saying? Means when you're reading scripture, actually read it with a recognition that you are reading the words of God, revealing the mind and wisdom of God through these texts. It's a powerful idea, and it's one that I think If I were to ask a question on a survey, does the Bible communicate the Word of God? I think pretty much most people in here would say yes. You know, that would be that we would be in agreement on that. But sometimes when you actually pick it up and start reading, it's easy to forget the power and the reality behind these words. That the creator and omniscient, ultimate source of the cosmos and ultimate source of you and all that is and ever was and ever will be has communicated to us through these texts, and you have them in your hands and you can read them in your own language. It is an incredible gift. It is a mind-blowing gift. And sometimes we can treat it like it's the most ordinary thing, or we can just be like, yeah, I didn't have time to listen to the ultimate source of the world today. Like you could prioritize that, and it would probably have profound benefit if you did. Like, read and ask yourself, what is God saying? Ask yourself as you read, what has God done for others? And what I mean is particularly read stories in the Bible about God's activity in the lives of others. That could be a source of trust in God, seeing the way that God has dealt with his people. And note his faithfulness throughout the text. How God, at the beginning of the book of Numbers, you have this people who have constantly, throughout this wilderness experience, are going to rebel against him. For 40 years, they're going to turn against him. There's going to be rebellion. There's going to be doubt. There's going to be decisions to leave God. And it's like there's so much frustration as you read it. But then you get to the end of the book of Numbers, and guess what? He's still there, and he's still with them. You can read the book of Judges and note the same thing. Judges is awful. Like, when you read all of the terrible things that take place, and it's just all of the evil things that people are engaged in, and it's a wretched experience as you read through patterns of gross immorality and evil, and you think, what in the world is taking place? And then you get to the end of the book of Judges, and you realize God is still there. Like, his faithfulness is incredible, and I don't think it is displayed anywhere more vividly than when you read Scripture. Notice prophecy and fulfillment. If you want to have confidence in what God is doing now, note the way that God has behaved in the past. And if you want to see that the promises of God that we're waiting for to be fulfilled now, like, notice how he has fulfilled his promises in the past. And God will be proven to be the absolute most trustworthy source in this world. Notice as you read Scripture how God has turned pain into blessings. Consider the cross. What looks like in the moment the ultimate failure and humiliation and atrocity is actually what God transformed into the most powerful gift of salvation that mankind could possibly receive. God has a way of taking the things that in the moment seem so wretched and awful and turning them into something powerful and monumentous and something that can be an unparalleled aid of good in your life, a source of hope in your life. Note how God has done that in Scripture and trust that he can do that today. Secondly, prayer and reflection. Not only read Scripture, but then pray. Like, as you read, respond to those readings with prayer. And then pray at other times also. Have patterns of consistent prayer, like I always pray before meals, or I always pray when I wake up, or I always pray before I go to bed at night. Try to have patterns of consistent prayer. Then also engage in spontaneous prayer. As new events and unexpected things arise throughout your day, offer a 10-second prayer to God. You know, it doesn't always have to be something that you set aside a tremendous amount of time for, but make sure that your mind is consistently open to communication with God. One thing that can help, and this is something that was mentioned by a number of those people who I said I referenced, who I think are great examples of people who trust in God, a good number of them actually keep prayer journals. So that is, they write down the things that they're praying about. And one of the benefits of that, and we'll talk about this as we keep going through this list, but you can read through that years later, and you know what you'll note? If you've actually written it down that you might forget otherwise, is, hey, God actually answered this prayer. I haven't thought about this in a long time. It's not even a problem in my life anymore. Things have been resolved, and God was at work. I didn't even notice it. I didn't even think about it, but God resolved this, and here I am years later, and it's not even a problem. Maybe the same thing will happen with some of the issues and the anxieties and the stressors that I'm dealing with right now. So keep a prayer journal to actually record the good things that God has done. If you want to trust God more in your prayers, this is a simple one. Ask him for more trust. Ask that you can trust him more. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 9, a father who says to Jesus, I do believe. Help my unbelief. He's struggling with his belief that Jesus can heal his son, and he's asking him, if you can do anything, please help. And Jesus is like, if I can? He says, I believe that you can, but I'm also struggling. And Jesus didn't cast the man out. He healed his son. He did help his unbelief. Like, ask God for trust. Ask God to help you in your unbelief. Ask God to help you through your doubts and struggles. Be fully honest with God in your prayers. You don't have to edit your prayers for God. You don't have to keep out those dark feelings that you have that you don't want God to know about. Guess what? He knows about them, and he can handle anything that you say to him. He can handle your deepest, darkest thoughts. He can handle your frustrations. He can handle your doubts. You don't have to try in, I think sometimes with absolute good intention and a desire for reverence, we will filter our prayers and not be completely raw and honest and real with God. And I'll say, in Scripture, you have a lot of examples, particularly in the Psalms, of people who are real and raw and honest with God, saying things that even make, like, that can make you feel uncomfortable to even read them. Those are the things that they're saying to God. You're allowed to be fully honest with God. If there's ever anyone who you're going to be fully honest with, let it be God. He's the one who can handle it and who can help you through it. Pray with others. And as you do so, I think you might receive several benefits of that. One of them is you'll learn more about others. You know, you can learn a lot about another person by hearing what they pray about. And you can receive a tremendous amount of encouragement when people pray for you and you realize this people, other people actually care about me and they know what's going on in my life and they're bringing that to God. It's like pray with community, pray with others. And I believe that that will help us in our trust of God also. But then the list continues. Remember history. And what I mean by that is not just world history, although even that could be beneficial, but think about your own history. Spend time thinking about what God has done in your life. This morning we had a Bible class downstairs where we talked some about encouragement. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about that will help us build trust in God are some of the same things that people said, hey, that's been a source of encouragement in my life. But consider the ways that God has answered prayers. That's something like a prayer journal might help with. But consider what God has done in your life and in the lives of others. Consider answered prayers. Think about those things. Don't forget them. Don't forget the good that God has done. And then move on and just constantly be thinking about the new problem on the horizon or the new potential problem. Thank God for his goodness and faithfulness. Dwell on his goodness and faithfulness. And then also spend time thinking about God, what God has done throughout history. There have been some pretty incredible things that have taken place in history, and so many monumental problems have arisen and gone. There have been ups and there have been downs, and there's right now downs and there's right now ups in different places. But look at God's control of the world, and I think you'll see that God has a way of solving problems. And I think you could see that really well by reading ancient church history also. Something I would encourage people to do, pick an ancient Christian author and read that person from time to time. Make a habit of reading. Because one of the things that you'll see is not only is it valuable to talk to modern people that you know about like what God has done in their lives, you can read someone who lived 1,500 years ago, and they'll talk about the same God, and they'll talk about things that God has done in their life. And that's a pretty cool thing to realize God's been answering prayers for a long time now. God's been actively involved in people's lives for a long time. I think we can get so fixated on the modern that we forget that God has been doing stuff for a long time, and we have so many witnesses, and we have so many testimonies of the things that God has done. Try to be aware of some of those things. I think reading church history is one of those things that can help us build trust in God. Spend time with others. If you want to trust God more, then talk to people who are good at trusting God. If you feel like that's a real struggle for me, a lot of people do, and that's natural, that's okay. They feel like it's a real struggle. Well, there are some people, there are people I've met, and it seems like, although sometimes if you talk to them, they say it's a struggle for them as also, but it seems like they're just so good at constantly turning their cares and concerns over to God. Become friends with those types of people. It will help. Develop relationships and spiritual mentors. Talk to other people about your doubts and let other people have a positive influence in your life. Listen to stories that other people tell of what God has done. If you want to trust God more, listen to what other people have experienced and recognize that God is at work. And this last one, it came from someone who I said, I'm going to put that exactly in there as you sent it. But what she told me was, the more time that she spent, particularly younger in her earlier years, with people who gave no thought to God, the easier it was for her to give no thought to God. But it was actually surrounding herself with godly and faithful people that was the greatest benefit and influence in her life. Like, she began to realize how active and at work God was. She began to see it and experience it and trust in it so much more. So avoid people who suck the trust out of you and fill your life with people who can infuse and grow and spread that trust. Enjoy God's blessings. I think this is a really important one. Like, recognize good things when they happen and thank God for them. And it can be simple good things. Count your blessings. Think about the clothes that you're wearing. Think about a positive relationship that you have. Think about the food that you have eaten. Think about your home. Think about what things could otherwise be. And think about the fact that you have every person in here, although some of them are more obvious than others, and some, every person in here has received blessing. Think about those things. Remember those things. Focus on those things. Enjoy a meal with loved ones. Try to schedule things like that where you have time to be with family or to be with someone that you love or to be with someone who is meaningful to you. When there's a church potluck or a meal offered here, show up and join with people who you love and care about. Or try to build those relationships if they seem distant. Enjoy the sunshine and the rain. You know, Jesus uses the sunshine and the rain as examples of God's love. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and the sun to shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Like, as you go through life, there are going to be patterns that demonstrate and reflect God's activity in the world. Notice them. Think about them. Meditate on them and enjoy them. Focus on the good. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, to meditate or to focus on things which are good and pure and noble and of good report, like things that are praiseworthy, things that are excellent. There is so much wretchedness in this world. It is easy to blind ourselves to what good is taking place by simply focusing on the news or things that rile us up. You know, people who create content on social media are generally aware of something. People are more likely to click something that riles them up and makes them angry than click something that sounds like good, you know, happy news. And so a lot of times people will try to generate views by frustrating people as they read. Ignore stuff that frustrates you. Like, unless it's forced into your life. There are no doubt frustrating things we have to deal with. But don't choose frustration as an elective. Like, don't just give your life over to things that you don't have to. Like, remember and focus and concentrate on the good. There is good in the world. Trust and enjoy it. Number 6, service and generosity. Spend your time in service to others. Spend your money in service to others. Join the church in acts of service and generosity. There are a lot of opportunities to do good in the community around us and do good in the lives of other people who are here. I think one of the ways that people grow in their trust of God is not just by reflecting, thinking, reading, praying, but getting up and getting out and doing something. Doing something for God. Doing something with God in mind. Doing something for the purpose of helping others, and loving God. You know, Jesus said the greatest commands are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The more that you do in service of those two loves, the greater trust you'll have for God and the greater love you'll have for God and humanity. Number 7, worship and time with God. prioritize worship. I think gathering together on the first day of the week with the church in worshiping is a beautiful way to start a new week. It's a powerful way to start a new week. And it is an activity that is so healthy to pattern the rest of your life around. I think we can drift in our trust of God when we start prioritizing so many other things above just simple time focused on Him, worshiping Him, and praising Him. Praising God is how we come to know who God ultimately is in a very true and real way. Praising God is the ultimate act of truth-telling. I really believe that because there is no greater truth than that God is absolutely worthy of praise and adoration and glory. And the more that we give that to Him, the more we are being immersed in truth and in what is good and what is ultimately the source of all reality. That's a wonderful and powerful way to start off your week. And by the way, you can even continue that throughout the week. You can continue that on your own. You can continue that on Wednesday nights, gathering together with the church. Making God a regular pattern of the way of the flow of your life, I think, is an essential part of trusting God. When God is just that thing you think about every once in a while, but He's not actually the heart and center of your life and of your calendar, then I think problems begin to emerge. Number 8, fast. I don't mean run. Don't eat for a while. There are other types of fasts that you can do, but I'll tell you, I think people who have developed strong, committed, trusting relationships in God for many years, this is a part of it. This is something that Jesus did. This is something that Jesus talked to His disciples about doing. This is something the early church did. We have examples of it in the book of Acts. This is something that faithful Israelites did throughout their history. This is something throughout church history many people have done. In modern American culture, it's not a very popular thing to do, and it's not something we like food, and it is hard for us to give it up. But if you're medically able, I would encourage you, fast. Rely less on the flesh and more on the spirit. That's a really important part of trusting in the invisible God, is learning to deny some of the reality or some of the impulses of the world around you to focus more on the spiritual. Survive discomfort. I'll tell you something about fasting. It's not comfortable. You don't feel good while you do it, usually. And yet you can survive it. And then you can look back and be like, hey, I was really uncomfortable and I came through it. You know what's a really important part of being able to manage this life well? Trusting that you can survive discomfort and be fine when you come out on the other side. If you want a habit that'll help you develop that sort of toughness through life, fasting's a really important one. Let your body remind you to pray and trust. What I mean by that is when we're comfortable all the time and we're just going throughout our day and our schedule is busy and we're moving from one thing to the next, it is so easy to forget to make time for God. Fasting has a way of slowing things down. Hours are so long when you're fasting because you're just hungry and you're thinking about but let those hunger pains that you feel, let that boredom that you experience, let that slow passage of time serve as a spiritual alarm clock that it's time to pray, it's time to trust. And you do that for a day, if you do that for 2 days, that's a powerful experience. And it's something that a lot of Christians never experience, because there are a lot of Christians in our culture who go through their whole lives. They don't fast at all. I would encourage you to take advantage of that spiritual discipline. Pay attention to creation. You're going to leave this building, you're going to walk outside. There are going to be skies, there's going to be mountains, there's going to be trees, there's going to be flowers. Look at those things. Try to slow down and appreciate beauty. Notice animal life. Notice bunnies and birds and squirrels. Stop for a minute and look at them and watch them run up trees. It can be the type of thing that you just go throughout your life, you never pay much attention to, you don't have time for that. Or it could be something where you realize, hey, every moment of life is actually a testimony of the power of God. Every beautiful color that you see is a witness to the artistry and goodness of God. You can walk outside and you can be overwhelmed by the glory of God if you'll take the time to do it, to think about it, and to focus on it. Jesus uses actually animal life and flowers as an example of God's trust. When he's telling us, don't be anxious about your clothes and about what you wear and your food, he says, notice the lilies of the field. Like, they're beautiful, and they're more beautifully dressed than even Solomon was. And God's the source of that. He says, notice the birds. You know, they don't spend their lives in anxiety, working a 9-to-5, you know, trying to figure out. He says, and yet God cares for them. Like, don't you think he'll care for you? Like, you can look at the world around us, creation around us, as evidence of God's love for his creation, and ultimately, evidence of his love even for you. Number 10, just reflect on God. A lot of these have kind of been hitting a lot of different areas, but just spend time thinking about God and remember he's bigger than all of your problems. He is always steady, consistent, and sure. He is the rock and the refuge and the deliverer. He knows more than we know. There might be times where we are experiencing something and we see no way out. We see no possible good that can come from this, or we see no reason for this. Yeah, that's probably true. There are going to be a lot of things in your life that you do not understand, but you can trust that you don't know everything. God does. He knows infinitely more than us. And so I think if you can just believe and trust that God is bigger, God is greater, God understands, you don't have to figure it all out. You can live a life of faithful uncertainty and be okay. You don't have to have a certainty and an answer to every question. You can trust God and recognize he probably knows and I probably don't. God is good. So if he knows, it's good that he knows and not me. God's better than me. God is love. He's also more loving than I am. If there's anyone that I want to trust, God is the absolute and ultimate source that makes it a foundation and a reality and worth giving. And I would say the greatest way to get to know God, through Scripture especially, is to look to Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John makes it quite clear that no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. What that's saying is basically, no one has seen God, but people have seen Jesus, and they've experienced Jesus, and we've seen the way Jesus lives and acts, and that becomes our picture, that becomes our testimony, that becomes our understanding of who God is and how he acts. So as you reflect upon God, the greatest way to do that is to look to Jesus and to trust in him. And remember that it was Jesus who loved you enough to give his life for you on the cross. And remember that it was Jesus who conquered death and victoriously rose, giving us the victory over sin and death itself. There is absolute and ultimate trust that we can have through Jesus in our God. And each of these practices, I think, can help us do that. So as we bring our lesson to a close, here's the challenge for this week. It's kind of difficult to say, do all of those things. You probably don't even remember all of them. But if one of them stuck out in your head, choose and apply one new trust-building practice this week. Something that we've discussed or something that you know about that you have not been doing, choose one and try to apply it this week and see if you can make that a habit in your life so that the more that we cultivate habits that cause us to rely on God and trust in God, I think the more trusting we'll be, the more natural it will feel, and the more we'll be able to actually be able to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. If there's anyone here who wants to trust in God for salvation this morning, please let that be known. You can name him as your Lord. You can be baptized right here, right now. You can begin a new life in Christ. If you have that need, please let it be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.